Let's read in unison verses 1 to 12, the fifth psalm. All together. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. In my spiritual life as a Christian, possibly one of the most practical parts of my Christian life, that's walking with God, is this thing called prayer. Lord, teach me to pray. If I was in the music department, I might say, teach me to play. But teach me to pray, which indicates they did not know how to pray. Prayer. Mr. Montgomery writes, prayer is the soul's sincere desire, unuttered or expressed. The motion of the hidden fire that trembles in the breast. Prayer is the burden of a sigh, the falling of a tear. The upward glancing of an eye when none but God is near. Prayer is a contrite sinner's voice, returning to his ways, while angels in their songs rejoice and say, behold, he prays. Prayer is the Christian's vital breath, the Christian's native air, his watchword at the gate of breath, death, he enters heaven with prayer. No one gets saved without prayer. No one. Somewhere there must be the cry, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner, in whatever words are expressed. Jesus Christ, the great pattern of prayer. Mark 1:35, rising early in the morning, he goes to pray. Before he chooses his disciples, he spends all night in prayer. The prayer of Jesus. John 17, Father, I thank thee that thou hast given thy Son authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And Father, this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. He prays in Gethsemane. He oft times resorted thither. He was a man of prayer. Why? There are problems in prayer. The problem of unanswered prayer, so-called. The Abrahams who plead for Sodom and Gomorrah. Surely you're not going to destroy a city if there are 50, 40, 30, 10 righteous men. And God doesn't answer. And Abraham concludes by faith that the judge of all the earth will do exactly what's right. Hezekiah prays and God adds 15 years to his life. Hannah prays, her lips move, no words come. Eli thinks she's drunk, but God hears that prayer and gives her a baby boy named Samuel. Moses, the great Moses, prays three times, Lord, I know I've sinned, let me into the promised land. And three times God says no. And Paul, the man of prayer, cries, O Lord, this thorn in the flesh that Satan uses to whip me, oh God, take it away. And God says, no, my grace is sufficient for thee. Sometimes he answers yes, sometimes he answers no, sometimes he waits and there seems to be no answer. What's the secret of prayer? Not all of us know how to pray. We heard the story of the Scotch elder who called upon to pray in public, got a little nervous and said, I've never prayed in public. And the pastor said, well, write out the prayer and put it in your hat. And then when you stand up, hold your hat and over the loudspeaker, read it. Thank you, pastor. Well, he got up and they said, elder so-and-so will lead us in prayer. And everybody bowed. And all they heard was, oh, Lord, this is not my hat. Well, or you've heard of the two men out in the storm, and it got so rough that one said, I think we ought to pray, and the other said, I don't know how to pray. Well, he said, I know the Lord's Prayer. The other one said, you don't know the Lord's Prayer? He said, I do. He said, I'll bet you $10 you don't. He said, okay. He said, all right, pray. He said, now I lay me down to sleep. The other said, I didn't think you knew it. And he gave him the $10. How do you pray? Psalm 5 is a morning prayer. And there are three things to see in the psalm. One is the prayer, how to pray. And secondly, his worship in verse 7. As for me, I'll enter God's house in the multitude of his mercies. And then lastly, his walk. Lead me, O Lord, verse 8, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. So we talk about talk and worship and walk, or prayer and worship and walk. There are laws of prayer, like there are laws of farming. Now, the law of farming is very simple. What you sow, you reap. Oh, wait a moment. It's not only what you sow, it's where you sow and how you sow. You don't take tomato plants and throw them out like you do wheat. You better hill them up, each one. And you better plow before you sow, and you better harrow before you sow. And then you better water what you have sown, and then you better cultivate it and pull out the weeds. So it's not just that simple statement, what you sow, you reap. There are laws of prayer. Ask, and it shall be given you. James says, the negative, you have not because you did not ask. My problem when I was first saved is, if God knows everything I need, why pray? Doesn't he know my needs? Well, he does. Then why pray? Because he said pray. That's enough. Lord, don't you know I need corn in my farm? Right, go plow. Can I get it without plowing? Can't you just drop down corn, bloop, bloop? No, plow. But I'm too tired. Plow. Lord, teach me to pray. Well, I've had such a hard day. Then you get nothing. You did not ask. If you ask, you get. There's another law, a level of asking. If you seek, you find. And if you knock, doors are opened. I say to my wife, do I have a clean shirt? I asked. The answer came, it's in your closet, hanging up. Where's that shirt? She says, in the closet. Now I look a little carefully. I'm seeking. I still don't find it. I come down and I knock. I say, I need that shirt. She goes up and says, there it is. You ask, you seek, you knock. Now, involved in my praying, and there's the law of asking, and there's the law of abiding. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will. But you see, when you abide, my will is his will. I'll not be asking for something contrary to his will if I'm abiding. That's the secret. When you fall in love and walk in the light, what you pray for is in the light. And if there are times you don't know what his will is, you always submit it and say, well, Father, thy will be done. Prayer must be made in faith. The double-minded man is unstable in all his way. Let not him think he's getting anything from God. God honors faith. But not presumptuous faith. Kind of faith that's based on the Word of God. For example, somebody said, well, next Saturday, this is June now, it's a Sunday school picnic, and we're just going to believe God, he's going to give us a clear day. I'm going to thank him publicly. Thank you, Lord, this is Monday. Thank you for the clear day on Saturday by faith. There's a farmer. In fact, there were 12 of them down the road saying, Lord, give us rain on Saturday. By faith, we claim it. Now, what do you do? Huh? If you were God, what would you do? Huh? Not God. You see, if God said to the Sunday school superintendent, there shall be no rain on Saturday, he could get up and say, by faith, because God says. And faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of God. But if God didn't say, he would be wise to say, Lord, if it be thy will, no rain. And if it poured rain, and everything be what? Thankful. Thank you for the farmers. Some people have the kind of presumptuous faith that orders $100,000 worth of lumber from the lumber company and says to them, by faith, I'll pay you. I don't know whose faith, the lumber guy's. He's losing $100,000 on this man that God did not tell to build. Jesus gave some laws based on faith. It says the Jews went through the Red Sea. At whose command? Oh God, go forth, the sea opened up. The Egyptians are saying to do the same thing, were drowned. God didn't tell them to go through. They had presumptuous faith. That's a bad kind of faith. Faith comes from the book, and God will not go against his word. And I suppose the phrase we use in our pious way many times that I think is not biblical is, well, I believe the Lord led me. If it's based on the book, he led you. If it isn't, we have some lead for you. Well, get that. Now, listen to what prayer is involved in prayer. Give ear to my what? Words. Prayer involves words. What are words? Well, words are the garments of my thoughts, dressed up with adjectives, adverbs, participles, prepositions, nouns, verbs. I think, and the word expresses my thought. I'll give you for example. I ate a piece of pie. That doesn't say enough. I ate a piece of delicious pie. Ah, somebody's ear pricks up. I ate a delicious piece of peach pie. Oh, somebody said who likes peach pie. Oh. I ate a delicious piece of homemade peach pie. Oh, you go like this. And then for the boys, I ate a great big piece of delicious homemade peach pie. So I take the thought and I expand it with words. Words say something from someone to someone. Words have character. Words have communication. They say something from me, the character of myself in the words, to the someone with whom I communicate. And words bring comfort or conflict. Words. So your prayer has to be clothed with words. And frankly, I have to spend time on my prayer in the pulpit as I do on my message. I have to outline before God what I'm going to bring. I'd do that if I was going to speak to Mr. Nixon. If I had audience with the president, I'd have in my mind what I'm going to say when I get there and say, now, Mr. President, boom, 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 boom. So I outline with an acrostic in my mind. I may take the word behold in my mind as I go to pray, and I pray with a B. O Lord, behold thy servant, a company of sinners, unworthy of the least of thy mercies. Look at us with all of our needs. E, encompass us with thy love and grace, so that as I pray, thy spirit shall lead me. And H, help me, O Lord. I'm a Gehazi, I could cheat. I'm a Jonah, I could run from you as fast as he did with a faster boat today. Yeah, you fill out the acrostic. That's the way I do. I don't know how you do it. But please get to God and say with words, but not just words. Notice what he says. Also, Lord, consider my meditation. Now, I'm aware from the Bible that you can be saying things and having your heart far from what you say. Honoring him with my lips, my heart is far from him. Now, we said yesterday that those who abide in God's tabernacle are those that speak the truth from their heart. What do you really want? Examine your heart as you bring your request. Esther, you have audience with the king. Well, only if he directs the golden scepter. Because if he doesn't, I'm out. Well, we are accepted before the king in Jesus Christ. So we have boldness to enter. We don't stand there trembling. Is he going to listen to me today? He listens. His ear is inclined toward me like a mother's is toward a child in the midst of the night. The child cries and the mother wakes immediately. What's that? Well, that's God who never slumbers nor sleeps, watching me, wanting me to pray, to depend upon him, talk to him. Well, I cry, oh God, here are my words, but let my heart be identified with them. Consider my meditation. I may be like a Balaam I will not say anything except what God tells me to say.
How much are you going to give me?
His heart was covetous. He looked more for the gold than the will of God. He said it. He didn't mean it. Beware of the way of Balaam. Why do we preach? Why do we sing? What did we pray for? The Lord's anointing? Yes. Or people to see us. Or we made a mistake and we're so embarrassed because we made it. Who were you looking at? Mr. Gordon, the great preacher from Boston, writes a little book, When Christ Came to Church. He's preaching on a Sunday morning. He watches someone come in and they seat him. He says to himself, I know who that is. I can't think. Well, he went on with the message, now and again glancing. Who is that? And finally he says, I'm going to find out. So when the benediction's done, he starts back and a lady stops him with a problem. By the time he gets there, that guest is gone. So he said to one of the ushers, you sat a person in about the sixth row from the back. Who was that? And the usher said in his dream, well, that was the Lord Jesus, Pastor. The Lord Jesus. He went back to his study and said, oh, Mr. Gordon, whom are you preaching, Gordon or Jesus? Changed his whole ministry. What are you praying for? Notice this too. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. Not just what I say and my heart thrust behind it, but I would think how I say it, the warmth of my voice, the urgency of it. Somebody said that prayer without fervency is like hunting with a dead dog. It's the fervent prayer of a righteous man that avails much. How urgent was I? Oh God, if it be thy will, help me to pass. Oh, is that the way you pray? Oh, it's what you say. As you talk on the phone, as you speak to people, is your personality coming through, or is it cold and biting and sarcastic? Oh, God says, I want to hear your voice, but the warmth of it, the fervency of it, the urgency of it, the plea of it. Oh, Lord, watch my words. Take care of my meditation. And then, Lord, my voice, hearken unto it. My King, that's what we saw on Monday evening. You call me Lord and Master. You say, well, for so I am. So I must go into the presence of God, knowing it's a throne of grace, but it's a throne. He's a king, and there is no king but God. And he rules and reigns over my life, and as a Christian, I want him to be. So, Father, as we'll see, direct my prayer, put my thoughts in order. I don't want to ask for anything that will bring defilement to thy name. My King and my God, so that's the prayer that he taught his disciples. Not a prayer to memorize, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I had those on beads, 10 of them. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, Hail Mary, Mother of God, full of grace. I'm done. I could have had a wheel. Is that the way you pray? He's my King and he's my God. And he adds, I'll pray unto you. So he doesn't hear us for the rhetoric of our prayer or the geography of it. He just wants to be heard or listen to us as we pray and then talk to us. So my King and my God, our Father who art in heaven, and that's a form, that's a model, that's the scaffolding upon which you may build your prayer life as well as an acrostic relationship, Father, place, thou art in heaven. Your name, let it be hallowed, sanctified, blessed. Let it endorse everything I pray for today like your stamp as you read it. Going to bless that, Father? Yes, sign my name. Oh, you're praying for that. No, my name will not endorse that. So when I ask anything in Jesus' name, it's not a formula. It's that name endorsing what I pray for. Lord, my little baby, says David, will you heal it? And God says, no, I'll not endorse that healing. I could heal the baby, but I'm taking the baby unto myself. And he did. And you may say, well, God's cruel. No, God is love. God knows exactly what's happening in the days ahead. And the righteous sometimes are taken to avoid the evil that's just beyond them. God's a very great God. And that's why you trust him, though he slay me, though he take everything I have, rather trust him than myself. Your name endorse my prayer. And if it's negative, Father, if I'm not praying right, please don't give it to me, because I trust you, not myself. My King and my God. Notice time involved in prayer. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. Can I shock you a little bit? How many prayed this morning? Don't raise your hand. We've been taught in the kind of a culture that prays only at night. That's right. Christian parents kneel with their children to the bedside when at nighttime. Now we're going to pray. Come on, bless mommy, bless daddy, bless the dog, bless everybody, right? But the psalmist says, oh no, I pray first thing. I greet my Lord in the morning. Now that takes discipline, because our mornings are clean the teeth, take the shower, maybe, and then orange juice, and off we go. But what about him? No audience with God? Oh no, not in the morning. I don't know why not. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He was waiting for you, and you woke up and ignored him. You grieved the Holy Spirit. You had no voice for God. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. That takes discipline. You have to develop and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't work out mine, just work out your own. You got the bicycle, you ride it. You've got the laws of prayer, you use them. Notice this, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. Say the wise men who comment on this psalm, one man says, that's the picture of an archer. He doesn't shoot an arrow at random. He picks up his bow and arrow, flexes his fingers, gets the little leather piece ready. He watches the arrow, watches the wind, and then he lets it go. He directs his arrow. Or it's a picture of a general looking over the arena of war and saying to him, you take the flank, you stay for reinforcements, you go forward, you take that flank, and now let's go sound the attack. Well, now he puts everything in order. Or they say it's a picture of a priest laying the wood in order for the burnt offering, not just dumping it. No, prayer is in order. It contains at least these elements, and you may add more, but I learned this from a preacher in Peekskill years ago, and I put it in my mind and never forgot it. What are the elements of prayer? Well, he suggested there were these, and I put them in my mind with two P's, two C's, and a T-I-S. That's the way I keep it. The first P in prayer, as I lay the wood in order, or I take my arrow, is P-R-A-I-S-E, praise. My prayer should have the element of praise. Hallowed be thy name. I love you, Lord. I praise you. It's calmly. He wants to be praised. He asked for it. And I would think he's worthy of it. Did you ever visit a British Museum, for example? And they take you into the room where there's all Rembrandt paintings. And you can't help, if you like art, say, man, that Rembrandt was a master. Look at the detail. Look at the color. Look at the life in that man's face that he just painted. It almost speaks. Well, this is my Father's world. Everything speaks of his glory. The beauty of the rose, it's not the rose. It's my Father who made it. The sunset, look at the beautiful sun. Who did that? My Father. The clouds overhead, the soft rain, the beauty of the snow, the hailstones, the hurricane out there. Who does this? My Father. So praise ought to be in my prayer. And second, the second P is petition. Ask. Ask what? Well, please be specific in your petitions. Please don't generalize. When you generalize, you're not praying. For example, oh Lord, bless the missionaries in Africa. That was a quickie. What did you ask God to do? To bless them? What was that? I don't know. Now, if I was your father and you came in and said, Dad, yes, son, bless me. You're blessed. Isn't that dumb? Isn't that dumb? That's like saying in the supermarket, I came in from some food. You say, well, there it is. Well, I just came from food. I think the fellow would start with the pies. Please direct your prayer with specific petition. What do you want in the will of God? Name it. That's petition. The first C, there are three of them, is consecration. What's that? That's giving yourself to God. Well, you say, you did that at Keswick when you were a young man. I did it this morning when I woke up. This is his day. 24 hours that he gives to me, he'll never give me those 24 again. It's the adventure of faith. Father, I'm yours. I consecrate, I hallow, I sanctify myself. Just let me live today and enjoy all you have for me. But you take me. I belong to you. That's consecration. The next C is confession. And that's homo, ek homo legeo is the word. 1 John, ek out of, homo homogeneous, legeo to speak. Out of the heart speaking that which is in harmony with God's holiness and being. Here again you have to be specific. I'm a Roman Catholic, saved by his grace. We had what we called auricular confession. That's on Saturday night when you went to a little box and you seen little lattice work so the priest sees you, but you just know he's there. And he would say, yes, what do you have to confess? Now, supposing I'm a Protestant believer from the Philadelphia College of the Bible. So I say, well, no one's perfect. We're all sinners. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. That's not confession. All right, if I've done anything wrong, please forgive me. That's not confession. He says, what did you do? And if you hem and haw, he probes like a doctor. All right, doctor, here I am. Doctor says, well, we'll see. Open your mouth. Ah, bad tonsils. Let me see your ear. Ooh, punctured eardrum. Wow, you're in bad shape. I didn't think. Well, that's what you do. You confess. That is to say, when you talk to God in confession, not public, private, you say, Lord, got to look at myself as your spirit helps me in the mirror of your word. Did you see my tongue wagging today? Like a little... By your words, you're justified. Even a fool is considered a wise man if he keeps quiet. Proverb. So my tongue set on fire of hell. I backbite it. Backbit. Backbite. I harbored resentments. I looked at a girl with the kind of eyes that you said shouldn't lust. And Job says, I've made a covenant with my eyes. I'll not look upon a maid, because he knew his weakness. Whatever the sin is, what sin? Transgression of the law. What sin? Anything that's not of faith. What sin? The thought of foolishness. What sin? Knowing to do good and refusing to do it. That's sin. Now you confess. The third C is communion. That's just delighting in him. Just to be in his presence. Don't always have to talk. I can sit with my wife in a car for hours and drive and have communion with her without any one of us speaking. Just sitting there. A glance, a look. See the sunset before she mentions it. I saw it. Save your breath. There it is. Talk to him. Now the T element of prayer is T, thanksgiving. In everything give thanks. Now thanksgiving is an attitude, not a word. Attitude is posture. Posture is the way you sit or stand, sloping, shrunken, drowsy, erect, waiting, bored. It's an attitude, posture. Said the little six-year-old redhead to his big father, a six-foot redhead, when the father said, sit down or I'll throw you down, the boy said with a glance of his eye, well, I'll sit down, but inside I'm standing up. That's attitude. Be thankful. In everything, give thanks. Don't understand it, Father, but thanks. The I is intercession. That's praying for other people. That's Paul praying for the saints at Rome, the Ephesian Christians. I bow the knee to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he may fill you with all wisdom and the revelation and understanding of him, to understand the hope of his calling. Whose calling? His call. He called you for a purpose. Did you anticipate it? He arrested you on a road to Damascus, Paul, not just to save you, bring you before Gentiles and kings. Oh, I have not yet apprehended that for which he arrested me, but I press toward the mark. I know he saved me for a purpose. So you explore his will, Romans 12, 1 and 2 and 3 and so on. So intercession, and part of it is praying for others to grow in grace. And then last, supplication. That's pleading with God, not always in our prayer, but that's the Syrophoenician woman. That's the parables that Jesus taught about prayer. Because of his importunity, his perseverance, the man that normally wouldn't get up, got up and aided the man who knocked at his door. His persistence, his perseverance, his, I'm going to knock until you answer. That's Jacob. I'll not let you go till you bless. That's supplication. Now, verse 3. And I will look up. That's the book of Habakkuk. I made my request, and now I'll wait to see what God's going to do with it. That's the watchfulness of a hen on her chicks. At the first little break in the warmth, ah, here they come. That's the anticipation of a man that prays to God believing, Lord, I left it with you, and I don't know long how long you're going to take, and you may give me a no, that's all right, but I'm watching to see what you say. And God will say, he will answer prayer. He's a God that answers prayer. That is, if you're fervent and you mean it, but if you just dropped the request and forgot it, then God forgets it. Some people, said Spurgeon, pull the bell rope in front of the door, and then before anybody answers, they go. It's like people who call you on the phone. Now, they must think you're just standing there ready to answer it, because it rings three times, and they hang up. Nobody, three times, I'm 20, what, 2 miles away? No, not 20 miles. I'm on the other end of the house, hung up, couldn't wait. Please, what do you think I am? Flying around a house with wings, here he comes. In your spiritual life, and I can't enter your prayer room, but if you want to have some fun, put your tape recorder on sometime and listen to your own prayer later on, and put it on again, and you will get a little sick. Because if they put our prayers in print, we'd be very embarrassed. They're repetition. Did you ever go to prayer meeting on Wednesday night? You don't have to listen. You know who, when they hear the prayer, who it is. Same thing. You say, we don't use a prayer book. Yes, you do. Same prayer written. And listen to you at night. Oh, Lord, bless my father and my mother and little Jackie. And you said that last night. What did you want God to do for your mother? That bless is too abstract. Is your mother lost? Pray for her salvation. Is she weak in body? Pray for God to give her the strength to overcome. His grace is sufficient. Heal her if he will, but give her grace either way. Lord, put my thoughts in order. Direct my prayer in the morning, and then I'll watch to see what you do. I'll close with verse 7. It deals with worship. Incidentally, in verses 4, 5, and 6 are the kind of people that are not acceptable before the throne of grace. That's the wicked, the evil, the foolish, the workers of iniquity, those that speak lying and falsehood, the bloody and deceitful man, these do not abide with God. Never. But verse 7 is worship, and just this outline. Involved in worship is my own decision. As for me. That's Joshua. You want to worship the gods this side of Jordan, that's your business. But as for me and my house, we'll worship the Lord. We take our stand. Now it's Sunday morning. And see, you're away from home, and you're tired. It was a hard week, so you're going to sleep in. Sunday school, huh? Sunday morning service, I'll go tonight. Well, you're out of the will of God. Bible says in his word, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. I went to seminary. Wednesday night, I was a pastor, so I'd have prayer meeting in my church, and I'd say to the fellows in the seminary in the dorm, guys going to prayer meeting tonight? Oh, no, I've got to study my Hebrew and my Greek. Fakes. If there was a party, they would have gone. But prayer meeting. So I used to warn them, I hope when you get to be a pastor, your whole congregation says, not Wednesday night, pastor, I'm studying. Because if you can do it, they can do it. As for me, what will you do? Well, Psalm 122. I was glad, not sad. I was glad, not bored. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. You fall in love with somebody, you guys, and you're not going to say to your mother at home, Wednesday night, guess I got to call on her again. Phew. You'll dash over. You'll sleep. You know. Till the in-laws to come say, here he comes again. Guys again. What an appetite. Not only is decision involved, determination. I will come. What is my will? My will's a slave. Sometimes to my emotions, sometimes to my intellect, but always to the will of God. A man approached me down in downtown, and this is years ago, and asked for a dollar. He had liquor on his breath and pretty well dressed, said, I have no money, I want to get home to my family, and boy, will you? And my emotions said, yeah, give it to him, it's only a dollar, it won't kill you. My intellect says, if you do, he'll drink it. But I listened to my emotions, and I gave him the dollar, and sure enough, I watched into the first tap room. And there goes my dollar. He comes at me again the next week, not knowing he had hit me last week. My emotions were squelched this time. My intellect says, dreamer, I'm not going to give you a dollar to drink. Now, my will acted first week by my emotions, but the second week by my intellect. As for me, I will come. My will now identified with his will. And he that doeth the will of God shall abide forever. And if any man will to do my will, he'll know. So, not only my decision, my will. And then my acknowledgement, when I come into God's house, it's in the multitude of his mercies. He's loaded with mercy. Mercy's compassion on people that don't deserve it. His mercies are new every third month. Every morning. Why did God say morning? Why didn't he say evening? He wants to begin the day with you. Don't wait till the evening time to talk to him in prayer. Wake up in the morning with the elements of prayer. Get up and say, praise you, Lord. He likes that. Need some help, Father, in that biology, that English class. Ooh, Father, help me to remember what I studied. And if you didn't study, he can't help you remember. And in thy fear will I worship. Worship is worship. Fear of God's the beginning of wisdom. Very few books on the fear of God. Now I'll close by giving you two illustrations. A man came to sell me a set of books when I was of faith. He said the editor was Morris Adler, Chicago University. He was a little Jewish man. And if he had told me the price, I wouldn't have seen him. But he didn't tell me first. So he went on how these books covered every subject. In fact, he got a little bold. He said, Pastor, you name a subject and I'll show you what we have, just like that. And I said, okay, the fear of God. He says, the fear of God? Must be theology. It's not in there. Must be psychology. Wasn't in there. He says, must be sociology. He's getting a little red and nervous. And finally he said, I can't find it. I said, here you are trying to sell me a set of books that you said is the most complete encyclopedia so on in the world. And the Bible says the first step is the fear of God's the beginning of wisdom, and you don't have the first step. See? What's the fear of God? Punitive fear? Oh, I always have that in the back of my mind that he's a consuming fire and I'm just grass. But I'm accepted in Christ. That turns to what we call a filial fear. What's a filial fear? That's a funny name. Well, I was called to a home in Southampton by a couple that had attended church, and their first question was, you say the fear of God's the beginning of wisdom and fear of the Lord's the beginning of knowledge. How can you fear God and love him? I said, it's not talking about that kind of fear. He said, what kind's it talking about? And just then his little baby cried in the side room. Just a little cry. He says, excuse me. And he tiptoes in the bedroom. And when he came out, I said, you're not afraid of that baby, are you? He said, afraid of it? I said, yeah, you looked like you were afraid of him tiptoeing in. He said, I was afraid of waking. And then he caught himself. I said, now that's the kind of fear. We tiptoe in God's presence. Not that we're afraid of waking him up. He never slumbers. But we're afraid of hurting him. We love him. We tiptoe. We walk circumspectly. We say, Lord, look at that filth over there. Well, I could be strong. I have Christian liberty. Oh, but if that offends you, it's not worth it. I love you. Do you understand that kind of fear? I will enter thy house in the multitude of thy mercies, and I'll worship thee in fear. Let's pray. Our Father, our spiritual life should be adorned with prayer. Words that have garments on them, words that strike right to the heart, help us not to miss the mark. And grant as we direct our thoughts to thee today that there will be in these halls the element of praise, the element of thanks, the element of petition, of intercession, praying for others, for the faculty as they labor. Not easy, Lord, to run a school like this. All the difficulties and the problems and the different personalities. Oh, Father, may thy anointing be upon this place as it was upon the temple of old when thy glory came. Give us thy glory. Show us thy glory. Lead us to be changed from glory to glory. We'll give thee thanks for your blessing in each heart in Christ's name. Amen.